From scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
So, Nigel, since we last spoke, and it's been a couple of weeks, so apologies, listeners, for that. You have been on a boat travelling to Antarctica. You've had an amazing experience. So I think it's a good idea to spend a few minutes hearing what you have to say about Antarctica as a learning experience.
And the first thing I learned was that I should never refer to it as a boat. I have to refer to it as a ship, because boats go on ships, but ships can't go on boats. To get to Antarctica, you have to go through something called the Drake Passage, which is the roughest sea in the world. And if you're a sailor, one of the sailors was telling me, in Kiev, in Ukraine, if you go into the sailor's mission and you say you've been on the Drake Passage and bang your fist on the counter, they immediately give you 50 mils of whiskey. It's an issue of solidarity, those sailors who've been through the passage. So Antarctica is very unforgiving, really. There's a rite of passage and a price to pay to get there and to get back. And that's almost right. It's like you're going through a door into a different kind of world. And it's a world of complete silence, of magical beauty, and just extraordinary size. Antarctica is as big as Australia and America put together. It is a huge continent, and very, very few people, only a few thousand people a year, ever step foot on it. And I've been very, very lucky to have been one of those. I was working, I was managing the leadership development of the group of 100 or so who were there. And that is a very interesting challenge on the one hand, and an opportunity on the other. It's a challenge because in some ways you're competing with the ooh-ah sentiment, you know, that let's take another picture of a seal or a penguin or a whale, or let's jump up and down on the boat as it rocks and rolls. And you're trying to get people to go into a much more deep learning state than just the superficial reaction. And I think that is highly desirable. And the opportunity is that because you're in somewhere so alien, so special, and so unique, it changes you. It helps you think about what's important in your life, what the issues are in your life, and what you really want to do with your life. So, you know, you're dealing with people who are from their late teens, early 20s, the youngest, through to people in their 50s and 60s. So it's a very mixed group. You're really saying to them, where is the meaning in your life? And what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And whether that's to do with work or things around work. Therefore, I had some of the most challenging conversations I've had with people for a long, long time. Helping them process that and helping them come to some pretty big and bold decisions. But the question for me, the really interesting question for me is how much of that will endure, so that I'm writing a chapter on the experience. The program is called Leadership on the Edge. And what I want to know is whether Leadership on the Edge is just an amazing experience. You go through this process, but you come out the other end, you go back into life, you know, day-to-day routine, boom, 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 you're getting on public transport. Life suddenly just returns to normal, or whether there is something enduring. And that's the question that I think is the most important question of all. How does this resolve itself, and what endures when the immediate experience and pressure is taken off you? But it is uncanny how the fact that we're kind of all of us against the world, it is a world that wants to kill you. It's a fundamentally hostile environment, however beautiful. And therefore, us humans are locked together, often huddled together for warmth. Now, whether that intellectual warmth and that willingness to share actually leads to enduring change. I would like to think so. I would like to think that the experience is so profound that it's almost impossible just to walk away from it and say, well, that was last year. Next year, I'm going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro or something.
So what, just quickly, what kind of mechanics were there then, or what kind of tools and approaches did you use with those groups within that experience to try and make it a deeper learning experience and to try and maybe give it some longevity?
There were three things really that worked. The first one was that when we were out on the ice, when we were on the ground, because we every day we either went on an excursion on the Zodiacs, the little dinghies, around the ice and around icebergs and looking at seals and whales, or we were on land, climbing, walking, sometimes roped up to get up steep hills. So whenever that part of that experience was silence and reflection, so that the Zodiac driver would switch off the engine and we were told not to talk, just to take in the environment. We set up two specific sessions where I did some leadership development in standing in circles on the top of a hill in 6 inches of snow, and we built in journaling. The final day, the final excursion, everyone sat down and was asked just to reflect and write a postcard to themselves, which will be posted in 6 months. So that was built in on the land. And on the boat, there were program sessions. So people spent the day out and then afternoons and evenings doing stuff. So there were lectures, formal leadership sessions, and lots of opportunities for informal mentoring. And the third thing, which was important, was everybody had a journal and they were told to journal time. You know, let's just get some ideas down. Some people wrote very little, but some people wrote pages and pages and pages as things started to overwhelm them. And interestingly, everybody wrote much more on the last day than they did on the first day. So something was getting through to them. And I tried to turn all of that experience into action and challenge and thoughts about your own, everybody's future, what they wanted to do with their life, what they wanted to do with their career. So there was a really concerted effort to get it away from being a trip to being an expedition, a journey that we were all on inside yourself and also into the physical environment.
Mm-hmm. So a really interesting narrative. So maybe we'll come back and talk about this in future weeks just to see what kind of sense making you've been doing around your experience. But Nigel, thanks so much for lifting the lid on that and telling us where we can go and get free whiskey and how to get one. But that's brilliant. Thank you.
I'm owed. I've done it. I'm owed my 50 mils, I can tell you.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Pleasure, Martin. Always a pleasure.
From scratch.